Testament. Let's go to the book of Joel this morning, and it's right after Hosea and right before Amos. So if you'll turn with us this morning to the second chapter of the book of Joel. Beautiful scriptures that we have this morning. They may seem harsh, because Joel was trying to tell this group of people that he was talking to, and I believe he was talking to Israel, and he talks about Zion, and I want to explain what Zion is this morning. Whenever we sing songs about Zion, a lot of times we direct those at the church. But a lot of times it refers to a spiritual Israel. It also refers to a place in Jerusalem where a temple once sat called Zion. And we today that are members of the Lord's church, we are sometimes referred to as children of Zion, or as this old song says, the old ship of Zion. But I believe this morning that he was talking to a group of people that God was fixing to deal with in a great way. And you hear the word terrible in these scriptures, and he means great. He means a magnificent or a mighty way that I'm going to deal with you all. And on my heart this morning, I have been burdened all week with this thought, and it has been with me. Of course, we've been in revival at Eastside, and I guess if I could title this this morning, it would be, "We Need a Revival at Mount Calvary." In about 54 days, this church goes into a revival effort meeting. My heart's desire is that as we come this way that week, that we would not only just have an effort meeting, but that we would have a revival where God's people are stirred up and a reviving fire fills this place in such a way that we cannot sit here and that we cannot lay around and that we serve God with everything that we have, brothers and sisters. We have a need today for this community, for our loved ones, for our friends, that we would be revived and that we would be set on fire with holy fire that can only come from above. We need that. We need a revival in our nation. We heard about the terrible thing that has happened in Florida, brothers and sisters. That is a thing that is occurring all around us every day. We need a revival in our nation. We need a revival in this church. We need a revival in all of God's churches. We need a revival for our very own selves, that we might be stirred up by way of remembrance, our pure minds, that they'd be stirred up in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. The scriptures that we have upon our hearts this morning, the second chapter of the book of Joel. We're going to read the first verse and we're going to skip down a few. It says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." We're going to skip down to the 12th verse, and it says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God?" It says, "Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I'll send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree,
and vine do yield to their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I could take for just a portion of this scripture lesson this morning for our reading lesson. It would be the 15th verse. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And I want you to realize this morning what Joel was telling Israel here. Israel has always suffered for the things that they have done. Israel could go along real good, and then the next moment they would be falling off the rails, and they just couldn't ever get their act together, it seemed like. They would do well for a while, and then it just would all fall apart. No matter what they tried, they were the promised people that God had loved and that He had been a part of, and that He told them that He would be with them always, that He would always find favor with the children of Israel. But just like a good bunch of people that God is with, every now and then we go astray, and they'd had a few years where things weren't going so well, and it seemed like all hope was gone. The locusts and all of those things had taken everything that they had. They had lost everything because of how their actions had preceded them and different things of that nature. But God was letting them know through Joel that the day was coming when the Lord would be there. And if we read the scriptures there in the second chapter, the 2nd through the 11th, we would have heard about the great army of God and how when it enters, that it is like a great army that comes and it turns the skies black and the moon to blood and all of these things that the army of God can do. And it's a great army that God has. And as I began to think about these scriptures, I began to think about Mount Calvary Church. You know, brothers and sisters of this church, we need the God's army to be with us. We need His Holy Spirit to rain down among us in such a way that it would bless us so that we would begin to work for Him and begin to call a solemn assembly, that we would fast to Him and let Him know that we are willing to have a revival in our church. Amen. Revival doesn't come just because we set a week on our calendar every year and say, we're having a revival. We don't meet here on Sunday mornings from time to time to say, well, we've met here. Brothers and sisters, when we come to God's house, when we set a revival week, we should pray up to it so that when it gets here, we're in the best shape that we're in to serve God with everything that we have. We've got to serve the Lord. Joel wanted them to know, we're going to call this solemn assembly together. We're going to get ourselves in shape that God can bless us. Thought about the verse of Scripture that it says, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I thought about those verses of Scripture. And brothers and sisters, God has been so good to us here at Mount Calvary this last year. He's been better than good to us. He's done so much for us that I can't hardly contain it when people ask how things are going. God is good to Mount Calvary Church. I thought about one of the first sermons that I ever preached here was, It's Gonna Rain. I think about that sermon from time to time and about how God let us know that it would rain in this place when we came together and saw that what He would do would be good. Brothers and sisters, it's still raining. The rain has not stopped. He talked about the former rain and the other types of rain that would be coming. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the showers slow down for a little while. Sometimes the rain doesn't come down in big sheets like it always does. But I'm thankful that God always sends what we need when we need it. I'm glad, brothers and sisters, that we have a God that we can call upon to supply our every need. And what we need, brothers and sisters, is that revival.
You may say, preacher, what's the big emphasis on a revival? What does it matter about our revival? As we come together as a church, every Sunday morning we spend a few hours here serving God. We give Him an hour or two or however many that it is to come together and seek out His will and pray and sing and testify and preach. But that's a week where we come together all week long and we give Him our attention. I think about often how our lives and our churches could be able to stay in a constant state of revival if we would come together like Israel was supposed to come together when Joel told them. He goes over there and he talks about how God will do great things. But it took an action on the people's part. It took them coming together in one mind, in one accord, and being able to serve God with everything that they have. It took calling the solemn assembly. It took having the fast. It took all of the people coming together and working together for the greater good of the country. And brothers and sisters, that translates to our church. I believe with everything that is within my heart, this is one of the best churches that there ever has been in the world. I believe that with everything that I have, but we still need God in everything that we do, in every action that we take. We've got to have God. If we don't have God at the very center of our church, brothers and sisters, we're off kilter, we're off axis. We need God to be our helper. The Scriptures also teach that we're not to be weary in our well-doing. You know, I have lived through a time in a church where God has blessed it and He's done miraculous things. There have been times that I've been in services and God has saved multiple people. And He's allowed us to look over and see people praising God and shouting and testifying and thanking God for what He had done. And, you know, people begin to take those things for granted. Our nation of churches that we have, all of the churches that are under the Missionary Baptist banner, sometimes we take God for granted and His power and the things that He can do. We don't need to take those things for granted. Because God doesn't have to do anything that He doesn't want to do. He tells His people, and if we remember what Nehemiah said, that the people had a mind to work. God's people must have a mind to serve Him. Brother Joe pointed out some scripture the other night, and he said, we've got to have a willing mind. I'm convinced that if we don't have a willing mind to serve God and have an effort meeting or a revival, we'll never get one. If we don't want to see God do things, He won't. This may seem a little harsh this morning, but brothers and sisters, we need to get ourselves in shape to have this revival. Lost souls are at stake. Our family, our friends, they're all at stake. Sometimes we don't realize the gravity of the situation that we're in until it's too late. But I'm thankful that God is sparing us that we have an opportunity to get our lost friends, our lost loved ones, all of them in. We look around from time to time and we look around and we say, well, preacher, God's just not doing a whole lot anymore. God has just forgotten His people. Do you remember what He told His church over there when He gave them the Great Commission? He said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will be with you always. He didn't say, I would go away after a while, or I would go away in this period of time. But I will be with you always. What happens for Him to be with us always? We've got to do the Great Commission. We've got to go, ye therefore, into all nations, teaching them, showing them how to get saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them what it means to be a disciple of God, what it means to be a church member, what it means to be a saved person. We've got to put some wheels on our faith and begin to go forward. We've got to put some wheels on our salvation and go forward with it. I talked a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night about sanctification. It's the gradual process or a process that continually moves us toward holiness. Holiness is the act of becoming. It is the ultimate state of God-like being. God is holy and He tells us, be holy for I am holy. It means to be completely sanctified.
Now, I'm convinced that we'll never see complete sanctification. We'll never see complete holiness on this side of eternity. But brothers and sisters, we're always working toward that sanctification. Now, I don't believe in a work salvation. Work salvation has never saved not one person. But once we get saved, there are some works that we've got to do so that we can serve God. I believe one of the first works that a person does is they become baptized. I believe that. I believe the very first thing that a person must do when they get saved is be a baptized member of God's church. And there's more to it than just being baptized. When you become a member of God's church, and we talked about this a few Sunday nights ago, and we preached a sermon on church membership, and how wonderful it is to be a member of God's church. It's one of the greatest things that this world has. It tells us when we're saved that we set our candle on the candlestick, and the candlestick being the church, and how the light shines everywhere. And when you put a bunch of candlesticks together on a big candlestick, or what the Jews would have had would have been a candelabra, the light radiates into places that just one candle cannot go. And I believe that Joel was telling these people, he said, God is a great God. God is able. Do we really believe as His people that God is still able? I heard someone say a few days ago that they didn't think God cared anything about this nation or our churches anymore. It broke my heart. I still believe that God is able. He's able to take these people and bring them out of the hardships and the things that they had gone through. He was able to take a nation that was broken and beaten and turn them into a nation that loves Him. He said, my people will never be ashamed. My people will never be ashamed. You think about that this morning, never being ashamed. I remember one time, I listened to gospel music just about all the time in my car. And I remember having the windows down. And I pulled up to a red light and the windows were down and I had the music up kind of loud, you know, louder than, you know, I really needed. I don't guess it's too cool to blast gospel music from your radio. But I remember this car pulled up and I immediately turned my music down. And I immediately, the Lord convicted me of that. And you may say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I was ashamed of what I was listening to. And it was something that the world needs to hear. They need to hear more about God instead of all of the things that they hear every day. They need to hear about God and know how good that He is. And I was ashamed of Him. And He's convicted me of that many times. I thought maybe if they could just hear the music there, maybe they would wonder what makes a person different. I talk all of the time about us being different at Mount Calvary, and we've got to be different. We can't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed of the doctrines that we hold. We can't be ashamed of the gospel message that we have. A message that still clings to the old plan of salvation. The one where you have to seek God with all of your heart. I'm not ashamed of that. And He said His people would never be ashamed. He tells them, He said in that 21st verse, He said, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. I ask you if you still believe that God is able. Do we still believe that God is able to do great things? I believe that He is. He's still on the throne and He's still interceding for His people and for lost people. And if God is still there, He is still able to do everything that He tells us that He would do. He told them. He said, then will the Lord, after that they had called the solemn assembly, after that they had called together the fast, after that they had all come together in one mind, and I believe they were in one mind and one accord, and He told them, He said, then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make your reproach among the heathen. I've often thought about God being jealous for our churches. We're His people. You know, I have people that I love, And when people are messing with my people, I get a little agitated or a little upset because they're my people and I love them. And I believe God looks at His churches and He says, they're my people and I love them. And I care for them and I want them to do well. Oh, but there's got to be something that takes place on the other side of that that lets God know that we're still in His favor. He tells them that He would provide the things that they need, the corn, the wine, and the oil, things that they needed. What do we need here at Mount Calvary? We need the Lord. We need His Holy Spirit. We need His guidance. We need His mercy. We need His grace. We need all of those things so that our church can grow, so that our church can prosper, so that our church can be full of the Holy Spirit. I believe every time that we assemble ourselves together, that we need God's Spirit to seal the service. We need Him. We need His guidance. We need His love. I believe God loves Mount Calvary Church. I believe He loves her so much that many years ago, over I believe it was August 20th of 1972, He placed a candlestick with her. And He gave her a job to do. And He said, you go into all nations and you teach people about salvation. And as long as you're doing that, I'll be with you. We look around sometimes, and I know about a year ago, before I came to be your pastor, before that, I'm sure different times in your life, things have gotten down in a lot of our lives. I'm sure churches, they all go through their ups and their downs and their valleys and their mountains. They all do. It's apparent in my life that we all can't stay on the mountaintop all of the time. Sometimes we've got to come down so that God can show us that we need Him, that we need His guidance, because sometimes as God's people, we go off course. I'm sure at different times there were thoughts and heartaches and sadness because we looked around and we thought, well, the church isn't doing a whole lot anymore. Brothers and sisters, that's not just at this place. It's not just down the road. God's people all together are suffering. And the Bible says that my people will be killed for a lack of knowledge. It says that they will be destroyed for that lack of knowledge. What does that mean? It means that my people will be destroyed because they have decided that everything else matters but the Lord. My people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. I believe if Israel here had not turned to God, they would have been destroyed. As we stand before you this morning, I want you to know that we need God in our church. When we come together in 54 days, and I've got it counted down, I've got an app on my phone with a countdown on it, and every day I'm looking forward to one more day of that revival getting here. But as I began to pray about that week that's coming up, I said, Lord, please don't let it start then. I said, please let it start before then. We need to be in a constant state of revival in our church. We do. The world needs to see that there is a revival going on here. I told you when I first got started that this world needs a revival. And if there's ever going to be a revival, it's got to start right here at Mount Calvary Church. It's got to start with His people. It'll never start anywhere else but with the people that love Him. I'm so thankful this morning that God's Spirit meets with us. I want to read some verses of Scripture over in the 28th verse of this second chapter of the book of Joel. And I promise you this morning that I've beat you over the head. That was not my intention with this message. I know that the Scriptures seem harsh, and I know the message may seem harsh this morning. But brothers and sisters, I believe that God loves us. And I believe He has a work for Mount Calvary Church to do. I believe that with everything that is within me, from the very first time that I stepped in this pulpit until God removes me someday after a while, I believe that this church has a work to do. And I believe she has a specific purpose for being right here. I believe she's got a job to do, and I believe we've got a blessed job right before us. And brothers and sisters, we ought to be looking so forward to working with the Lord. The 28th verse says this, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon thy handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show thee wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I love that he tells them, he says, it shall come to pass that I will pour my Spirit out. If you ever poured water out of a pitcher, you know that when you begin to pour, it begins to come out. The more you tip the pitcher, the more that it comes out. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to God tipping the pitcher over on us with His Holy Spirit and it raining down upon us in mighty waves. I'm looking forward to that. And I believe that it's been happening here. I'm thankful that every time, and I say this often, but that every time I step through those doors, I feel the Lord. And I feel the love that this church has. I believe that this is one of the most loving churches that there ever has been. I'm thankful that it's that way. I'm glad that these people that gather here every Sunday morning, I'm glad they love one another, but I'm glad they love God more. And when we love God more, He'll pour His Holy Spirit out upon us. It's a wonderful thing to be able to think that we're the ones that have been delivered in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. The Scriptures teach us oftentimes that there's a remnant that is there. You might look around today and you might say, "Preacher, we're a remnant." That's okay. God loves His church. He told them over there, He said, "Fear not, little flock, for this is my good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom." I believe this church still has the keys to the kingdom. As we come in here these next few weeks, and as we separate ourselves these next few weeks, let us come together in earnest prayer. Every time that we pray, let us pray that God will rain down among us in such a way that we can't sit still. That when we come together in our solemn assembly, that we will gather ourselves together with a pure heart and a pure mind. When we come together on August 7th for that first day of our revival, I want us to come together in a way that shows the world that we're a roaring lion that's going out to spread the gospel to this community, to those around us, to our family members. Let's invite people in. Let's show them that we still care about people. Let's show the world that we're different. Let's pray for Brother Carey as he comes this way to help in our revival effort meeting. He needs the Lord's help. I need the Lord's help. You need the Lord's help. You may say, "Preacher, you're throwing that off on us now." You do need the Lord's help. You know, a week of revival, it's a long week. You start on Sunday night and you think, "Man, it's going to be a long time till next Sunday night gets here." But you start out and people are ready to go. Let us not be weary in our well-doing. Let us come together every night of that week and let us serve God with everything that we have so that when God gets here those nights, we can take Him and run with the Holy Spirit and say, "We're here to worship Your name." Yeah. I'm praying that we have some lost people come in for our revival. We need to see lost people for our revival. We need them to come into our church. We need people, younger people, to come into our church. We need these things. But you know who's going to provide? The Lord Himself. He told Joel to tell these people that His people would never be ashamed if they would do what He's asking. You know what God's asking us to do? To give Him His time. To give Him our devotion. To give Him our love. Brothers and sisters, I could spend the rest of my life trying to serve the Lord and try to repay Him for everything that He's done for me, and I could never put a drop in the bucket. I love revival season. I've been in quite a few this year, just visiting around and enjoying the preaching and the laboring of some of my dear brothers and some of my dear church families. I've enjoyed the revival that I've been in this week. I love those people at Eastside Church, but I love the people of Mount Calvary Church. And I want to see us prosper. I want us to have a wonderful revival this year. You may say, "Preacher, you've kind of put the cart before the horse and got this a couple months out." It's something that needs to be on our mind. It should be on our mind every single day. This church should cross our mind every time that we pray. And when we come together to pray, we need to pray for one another. Let's pray that this church will go on, that it will keep growing and it will keep prospering and that God will keep being with us. I love to feel the power of God. I want Him to pour His Holy Spirit out upon us. I want Him to pour His Holy Spirit on every single one of us. And I don't want it to start on August 7th. I want it to start right now. I want it to start right now in our hearts and in everything that we do. And everything that we're doing, I want us to have a heart and a mind and a zeal to serve God. That's what we need this morning. Every one of us, we have to have that zeal. I preached a few Sunday mornings ago about Paul writing to the Roman church. And he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." We have a zeal of God, and you know what we have it with? According to knowledge. We have the knowledge, and we should have the zeal to serve God. When He saved my soul, He gave me a zeal to worship Him and to serve Him and to be a part of His church. We've got a wonderful church here at Mount Calvary. We've got a wonderful group of people, some of the most spiritual people that I've ever been around, and I'm thankful that it's that way. Let us use what God has given us. Let us go on together. Let us take what was told many, many years ago. If you read in the Scriptures and you read about the timeline of when Joel was written, when God gave Joel this prophecy, it's about 850 B.C. That's been a long time ago. And the words, the things that he tried to relay, they're still applicable to us today. Let us come together in a solemn assembly. Let's bring everyone together and let us worship His holy name. Brothers and sisters, and I guarantee you, with everything that I have, I can guarantee you this. If we will do those things, if we will come together as a church family, as a church body, and a church unity, and I'm so thankful, you know, that's a blessing about this church, is the unity that this church has. I've been to a lot of places where the unity isn't as strong as it is here. The one mind and the one accord. I've been to a lot of places where it isn't as strong as it is at this place. Let us take the fruits that God has given us and let us work with them. The Scripture says that we should work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We read in our Sunday school lesson today about the gardens. And I'm thankful that there were gardens there throughout our lives. There's the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of Paradise that the lesson writer talked about. You know, we've been through the Garden of Eden, been through the Garden of Gethsemane, and someday we'll get to the Garden of Paradise. But our work's not over. We've still got a work to do. You may say, "Preacher, we're getting tired." Some of you are older. Some of you think, "Well, my time to serve the Lord is just about over." But you know what? As long as there's still a breath in your body, as long as there's still a will in your heart, there's still time to serve God. Amen. Brother and sister, our job is not done. We'll never be finished on this side of eternity. The day that the Lord takes this soul from this old body, I'll finally be able to lay the old Bible down. I'll be able to lay down the work that this life has given me, that God has given me, and say, "Well, I fought a good fight, and I hope that I've kept the faith. Lord, please, therefore, let a crown of righteousness be laid up for me." Paul said that. Paul knew where he was going. Paul fought that good fight. Let Mount Calvary continue to fight that good fight. Let us go on and worship together. There's a song that we sing from time to time called "Holy Manna." Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. In these next few months, let's adore Him with everything that we have. Please let us serve the Lord. While we stand together and while we sing this morning, I thank you for hearing me. And I please beg of you not to take this as a beat you over the head message. I want us to grow together. And sometimes we've got to hear these messages from God about what we need to do and how we need to do it and how we need to gather ourselves together. And I pray that you'll take it in that spirit. And if you will, brothers and sisters, we'll take it in the right spirit. And God bless us for it. While we stand.